live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Praise and worship, and the power of praise and worship. And so I just, I'm looking forward to what God wants to speak to us about. Amen. Anytime you see someone who prepares a word and gets up in front of you to deliver a word, understand it is for them just as much as it is for you. And so I expect God to show us some things and just take us to some new places. Things we've heard before, but it's a refresher. And hopefully it will just help us continue on in doing what God has for us to do. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to jump on into this thing. Father God, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to come together to worship you, to love on you, Father God. You truly are an awesome God, and we thank you for all that you're doing in us. I ask right now that we all would have ears to hear what your Spirit is wanting to speak to us today, Father God. Not just physical ears, but ears to hear the Spirit. Help us, Lord. Reveal your truth and take us to a whole new level in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. God, oh my Lord is good. I was going to say God and Lord. I tried to say God. Ooh, this thing is booming. First off, before we really get into it, at the very beginning of everything we do, when we think that we've been saved by grace, you know, and that it's not of our own works, and we have to worship and we have to praise and talk to a God that we don't see, at the very beginning of all this is our faith. Amen? Anything we can do in our own power is not really worth doing. Okay, that doesn't mean don't brush your teeth in the morning. Put your clothes on, okay? I know some people who feel they got to even pray about brushing their teeth. No, God wants you to brush your teeth. But what I'm saying is the things that God has for us to do, he puts them out there, and we got to have faith to believe it because we're dealing with some things that we don't always see. Amen? And when God calls us to come together and praise and worship him, he understands that it's going to be difficult. You know, Seth and Jayden, they get mad at me because at times I up the task that I have for them. You know, it used to be something simple like here, just carry my Bible inside. You know, just carry my Bible inside. Now I got a heavy bag outside and I say, Seth, get that. Daddy, that's too heavy. No, I know what I'm doing. I'm trying to work you now. I'm working you a little bit more. And they hate it when I do that. What I used to let them get away with, I don't let them get away with. I say, no, we're going to up this game a little bit. You're a little bit older. And I believe God's the same way with us. He has us flexing our muscles and he wants us to work them out. But it's going to take a struggle. And he knows pursuing him is a struggle sometimes because we're dealing with some old man. We're dealing with some traditions that we've set up. And so today I want to kill those traditions. I want to give us some encouragement to pursue God with all that we've got. Amen? So there's some things I'm going to share with you today that's more, it's going to be teaching, but there's going to be a mix of a preaching in there as well. I want to encourage you. I want you to be psyched, but there's some nuts and bolts we're going to touch on. Amen? But at the very beginning of it all is faith. And so if we can turn to Hebrews 11, I want us to look here in Hebrews 11. And we've heard this scripture over and over. We're going to look through verse 1 through 6. Last week I talked about, you know, us actually pursuing what God had for us, speaking positive things over ourselves and you know, not allowing the enemy to hinder us. And I talked about some things we had to speak over ourselves. And really, praise is like that. Praise and worship is like that. Because you've got to come in here and speak truth when you're living in a current reality that doesn't match up all the time. But we got to have faith. It says here in verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance. Something you can actually, it should be tangible. Something you can grab hold of. Amen? Something you can identify. It's not that you can clearly hold it in your hand, but you can identify faith. Amen? And he's telling us faith is a substance, the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things that we don't even see. And those things contradict themselves, but because we're saying your faith is something that we should be able to grab hold of, and it should be able to produce evidence of the invisible. Amen? And if we're going to do what God has for us to do, we're going to have to exercise faith. I had a pastor who used to say, if you thank God for what he's done, don't call that praise. That's just being polite. For God to do something and then you start praising him. No, that's not praise. You're just being polite. You're saying thank you for something he's done. Praising God sometimes when you're in bondage or when the bills aren't met or when you're sick and you have to believe, you have to put your faith on display. And those who look at it, they see something tangible because it's something about the way you pursue this thing. You really believe it. And it starts to turn something in someone else. Amen? Second verse, it says, for by it the elders obtain a good testimony. How can you obtain a good testimony? These are just the nuts and bolts. We're going to get on top of the rest of this. You can obtain a good testimony because on the front end of this, your faith which you are exercising becomes a substance that creates an evidence of the invisible. And after that takes place, the elders will be able to have a testimony of what God has done. Now that's a pattern that we can expect to see. Okay, so now what we do, we see it all the time. We come in here and we proclaim some things. We confess some things or profess some things. And we say, this is going to happen. God said it, I'm holding on to it. I believe it's going to happen. And what you're doing is you're speaking something. You're calling something to be that's not. And you're putting your faith to it. And God starts to create something in that that becomes an evidence for people to see. And it starts to stir up something. We're still talking about something that you can't hold on to, but it's the way you pursue it. I see your faith at work, and boy, I think your faith is creating something. And something comes out of the invisible, and next thing you know, you got a brilliant idea that manifests itself. And people say, how'd you do that? They don't know how long it, my goodness. When you look at Seth and Jayden, God gave me a dream 5 years, 5-6 years before Seth and Jayden ever came. I didn't know what it was. I thought I was ordering glasses, but I was at a place, and it looked like I was at a place like ordering glasses. And they sat me down and said, what do you want? And I started naming how I wanted these things to look. I thought I was ordering glasses. I didn't know it clearly. I didn't have a clear understanding of that thing. Little did I know that I would not be able to give Ivy a seed to bring forth a child. Didn't know that then. God was showing me something in the invisible. And he started to let that thing cook and stir. And then when we went through the struggle of finding out that we could not produce naturally, and through all the crying, all the tears, all the pain, we still praised God. And as I got closer and closer to God, he started revealing to me, son, you put your order in already. You were ordering your babies. God started bringing that back to me. I said, I didn't even know that's what you were showing me, but it was in the invisible. And I just started to pursue what God said, and bam, joy came to us. He's a good God. Now, some will say, are those your children? They act like you. I had one pastor, Pastor Ring, had said to me years ago, he said, they got your spiritual DNA. But what you see in the physical was in the invisible, and it will manifest. And so as we, even in this church, start to praise God and lift him up, the enemy is saying, why are you praising? I haven't given you reason to praise. Can't you feel that pain in your arm? Why are you praising? Can't you see I just struck your children down? Why are you praising? Shut up. And follow your current reality. See, reality does not always equate with truth. Amen? So the enemy wants you to worship and praise as you see. But God wants us to draw on something that's in the invisible. He wants your faith to pull down what is in the invisible. Pull it down here. And look what it says next after this. It talks about even as you do this, it's going to give elders a good testimony. I don't want a bad testimony. I don't want an average testimony. I want a good testimony. I want somebody to say, that Otis, he fought through that. And he said God was going to bless him. He didn't know how it was going to get done. But Otis said they were going to sing and they were going to rejoice because God was on their side. I don't know why he had such faith, but something about his faith got something stirring in the supernatural. My goodness, if we could see what's happening in the supernatural right now, when you start lifting up God, the angels start shaking stuff. And the enemy is saying, stop doing that because you're shaking it up in here. He wants you to look and say, oh me, this is terrible. I know what I did. I know I'm no good. I'm from Meigs County after all. I don't say that. But I'm telling you, the enemy will try to find anything. If you got siblings who are always in trouble, he'll say, just follow suit. That's right. Don't expect anything greater. But God is telling us, he wants to deliver to us a good testimony. Not so we can say, oh, look how good we are. But he's trying to establish his kingdom. And his children should look like him. Amen? Look here in verse 3. It says, by faith we understand. By faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. By the word of God, the worlds were framed. All right? Now remember, you're God. And I don't want to get you all freaked out. You're God's people. He made us in his image. And he's given us the ability to speak. Amen? So, where it says God framed, we know that God framed the world. Amen. We know the worlds were framed by God, by the word of God. We can speak the word of God, and we can frame our world. We'll come back to that. But then it says, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. I'm telling you, I want to make things that are of heavenly substance. Amen? I want God to be able to do what he wants to do in me. And the only way I can do that is to understand, like I shared a little bit last week, there's a point where Otis has to run out. Otis can't spend well, okay? Whatever it is God has for me, at some point, Otis's efforts has to die out, and I have to identify, I can't get this thing done without God. So when somebody says, why are you praising? Why are you lifting the Lord's name up? What has he done for you? Remember, I'm not trying to say thank you to God. I'm not trying to be polite. I'm trying to stir up the things that I know he's already doing. And I want to give him acknowledgement in the earth because his promises are yes and amen. And I'm saying, yes, so be it. Amen. Yes, so be it. Come, thy kingdom be done, thy will on earth as it is in heaven. God's desire is here, but he needs to connect with us. And when we come in here and we start to praise God, what are we doing? We're lifting up his name. We're saying, we're talking about the great things that he has done. You know, they did it all through the Bible. And something I want us to understand here, we're expressing approval or admiration. We extol in word or songs. We magnify and we glorify. When we praise God, that is what we're doing. We're commending him. We applaud him. We celebrate him. We express approval, admiration. Those type of things come along with our praise. And believe it or not, when we do that, God starts being drawn to that. It tells us that he will inhabit the praises of his people. So that means, imagine a house that is just set up perfectly for you. You want to come in there and chill out. You want to come and hang. It's a comfortable place. And so when we start speaking things that look like the kingdom, and we start praising and saying the type of words that he would associate with kingdom speech, he feels at home. And he'll come in and he'll hang with you. Now listen, whoever held the Ark of the Covenant was blessed. The presence of God was in the place. No, they couldn't just touch it. We knew they would die. But their households were blessed. The presence of God was in the place. So why wouldn't we want to come in here and praise God? He's drawn to your praise. Not only that, his muscles pump up. He says, my children are starting to understand how awesome I am. What else can I do for them? He loves it when we call on him and we say, you are bigger. For me to say you are bigger than cancer. He says, good, you're not scared of that thing? No, God, I'm not. I don't know. And guess what? Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they said, but if my God does not deliver me from this furnace, we will still praise him. And we will still not bow to this thing. Right? So see, it's not just, it's whatever the situation is, God is in control. That's all I need to know. Okay, I'm taking way longer on this section than I wanted to. I'm not going to get to where I want if I don't move. Okay, but anyway, so understand, we're going to pull down the invisible. When we come in here and we start worshiping, we're pulling down the invisible. And we can only do it by activating our faith. Here in verse 4, it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts and through... Oh, I'm sorry. And though he being dead, still speak. So though he's dead, he still speaks. Your fruit should last way beyond you. Amen. The things God, people should still talk about. My goodness, I remember when Randy Jewell looked at that thing and spoke to it. And somehow that thing withered up just like he said it was going to. He believed it was... They should be talking about it. And that thing should be kindling some fire in them and causing their faith to grow. I never understood when I was at Benny Hinn conferences sometimes, because I would say, why do they keep stopping? They let you sit down and then somebody gets up and give a testimony. Then somebody would sing a song over here. But he was awesome at building that expectation for God to do something. So he would tease you a little bit. He'd give you a little bit more. You get into worship. Then somebody share a testimony. The whole time as you were hearing it, and as you were hearing it, it started saying, he's no respecter of persons. He can do that for me too. And it got you somewhere. It was awesome. That was verse 4 here. But it talked about how he still speaks from even after being dead. Look here. I'm going to jump down to verse 6 just so I can expedite this a little more. This scripture here tells it all. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. We want to please God in here, right? If you want to please God, you cannot please him without having faith in him. Right? For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When we start to worship and understand praise and worship are different, praise is more so, praise can be a horizontal type of thing in direction. And I talked about this before. This is where I can encourage you, my neighbor, and I can say the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen his righteous forsaken, his seed begging for bread. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You are the head and not the tail. God is for you. He's a mighty God. He'll slay your enemy. I can talk about how awesome God is, and I can speak that to you, and I'm encouraging you. Amen? It should fire you up just hearing the truth, and it's like, oh, yeah, yeah. But now when I get into worship, that's more vertical because now I'm worshiping and I'm pursuing his heart. It's like I just want to lay my head on his chest. I want to hear his heartbeat. I want to hear his heartbeat because it's there. He'll start to tell me, son, I'm pleased with you. This is where I want to be with you. And let me show you where we're going. He'll open it up. Now, the enemy knows the closer you get to God, the more you're going to smell like him, the more you're going to look like him, the more you're going to talk like him, the more you're going to believe like him. And I already told you even last week, if you start believing I'm a winner, when something comes at you that contradicts that type of mindset, you'll easily discard it because you can't associate with it. It'd be like saying, what if somebody came to you and said, oh, I saw Otis at a KKK meeting? See, you start laughing. But now what if somebody said, I saw Otis over at Jolly Pie or Donut? You know, or I saw Otis over there at Dunkin' Donuts. He was eating apple fritters and everything. Is that believable? Not with this fit. Yeah, right. That's a little more believable. That's probably true. What'd you say? Yeah, Dirty Franks. Oh, there's a dog shop we got to go to in Columbus. Dirty Franks. But no, think about it. It's like, what? That doesn't even... That's what you'll start to do as you get closer to God. When you get closer to God and the enemy comes in and says, you don't deserve a man because you're unpure. You're dirty. You can't even wear a white dress. You're going to see yourself in the brilliance of his light. And you're going to say, no, I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar person. No, you're going to discard what the enemy has to say. Why? Because you've drawn close to God and you've gotten so close to him, you start to smell like him. They told Peter, they said, your speech betrays you. He was trying to cuss and make them think he didn't even know God. They said, your speech betrays you. You cannot hang with God that long and not smell like him and not talk like him. I'm going to tell you the truth. I hate to tell on myself. There's some movies I go to, and I could go to a lot of different movies, and they don't affect me, okay? I don't want to give you license to do something, but I've just had this, I've been able to compartmentalize certain things, and it's like I can go watch something where some of you would say, oh, my gosh, I can't even watch that. I'm like, it's like seeing Santa Claus flying through the air. I don't believe there's a Santa Claus. It's, unless it was something close to, like, Exorcist, I had to deal with Deliverance. So I don't play with anything like that. But anyway, just over the last couple of weeks, I've been eating and chewing so much of the word that there's some things I would have normally went to and said, I'm going to watch that. And I just don't have a stomach for it. And so what I'm saying is it depends on what you're dealing with and how close you're getting. That might have been okay for you then, Otis, but even now, God is saying, I'm shifting your appetite. And I'm like, okay, great. I used to love those shows. But his goal is that we will draw so close to him and be pleasing to him because we speak like him. We hope like him. We pursue like him. Amen? Because he pursues us like nobody's business. Amen? So here, it says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because first off, when you come to him, you got to know that he is God and that he's a rewarder. And so sometimes I want to put this question out to us because I know we've been beat up. The enemy's been knocking us around. But when we come in here and we say, God is here, if I just say, God is here, will we really believe that? Because, I mean, we say it. God is here. God is here. God is here. Now, listen, if you said any president, I don't care who the president is, Republican or Democrat, I don't care. Just the fact that that office is so unique, if you told me the president's car swung up in here and they're bringing him through here right now, I don't care if I like him or not. I'm going to be like, oh, my goodness, y'all, Hi, Mr. President. But we're saying God is here. Really? The God who is able to straighten your legs if he needs to, and if you'll believe for it. The same God that scooped the Grand Canyon, he is able to come up in here and speak to our need, and we're ready to just chill out in the narthex or in the lobby, hanging out, or have a conversation or play on Facebook, even at our seats. And we're saying, God's here, God's here. No, there's a power that is at work. And if we saw what the enemy was doing in the spiritual realm, he is on our shoulders right now. And he's saying, don't you say a word. Yeah. Awesome opportunity to come up front and hear what God wants to say to you. And the enemy says, don't you go. You know you're in leadership. Don't you embarrass Pastor that way. Make his leadership look weak. That's the enemy. He's right here trying to speak to you and tell you. That's what's happening in the spiritual realm. In this place, the enemy doesn't want you to come out. So when Pastor Otis says, hey, get up and lift your hands, give him some praise right now, you say, well, that's Otis. Mm-mm. A lot of times, God will be saying stuff into my ear as we're talking. And I say, as we're talking, as we're worshiping, he'll be saying in my ear, if you can get him here, we're going to break through. And I'll say, okay. Sometimes he'll say, tell him to do this. And I got to still deal with, well, wait a minute. God, I don't know if they like that style of music. But you know what? I do what God says. I'm just going to be obedient. And I got to deny what the enemy wants. But right now, you need to hear this. If you allow the enemy to hinder your praise and your worship, he can keep you weak. I heard Dwight Thompson told the congregation once we were up at World Harvest. Dwight Thompson was up there, an evangelist, and he said, show me a man who will not sing, and I will show you a man who will not war. That's powerful. Because what we think is wimpy, singing, or what, maybe you don't think that, but I remember I was a linebacker in football, and you're supposed to be the toughest thing on the field, and we just were tough. But at the same time, I was a singer. I had to go to choir. And they knew not to tease Otis because I would crack them. I would. They didn't tease me, but anybody else, they sure would tease. Why would we feel silly about that? Your children are watching you, and they want to see how do you respond in the presence of God. Why does mommy and daddy lift their hands like that? Why are they so surrendered to God? Your children are watching. And how we respond. Do our words contradict what we are showing God? God is here? Really? We need to respond to him because he loves us. He wants to put something in our hands so that we can slay our enemy. I want to turn real quick, and then we're going to do a little demonstration of some different songs, and I want to point out why we do what we do in worship. And it's so hard to put this in one message. I mean, because there's some teaching that needs to happen, but I also want to demonstrate something. But if we could turn to 2 Chronicles, I shared this once before, but I want to do a refresher here. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we've probably read this many times, and you've, over the years of being a Christian. 2 Chronicles 20, we got King Jehoshaphat, and there's an army, there's armies, three different armies coming against the king and his people. They're coming to make war, and he is a little fearful because he doesn't know what to do. These are some serious armies coming against him. And so he has to get his mind right. And we're going to look in verse 12. There's some things that take place, but you'll have to go back and read that. But basically, you know, he gets word that this army's coming against him, and he goes through this time of, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And then we come to verse 13. It says, now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. You know what? Do you think it said all Judah? I thought I saw all Judah somewhere in there. It said, oh, it did. All Judah. All the people of Judah stood with their little ones, their wives, their children. They stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah. Forgive me if I mess these up. You know how I am with these words, these names. The son of Jeel, the son of Matanah, the Levite of the son of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, remember I told you about faith is the main thing here. I don't know what your predicament will be, but I can guarantee you if you follow God and if you do what he's telling you, you're in good hands. The battle is his. That puts the responsibility on God. All we got to do is be obedient and go through the steps that he's telling us. The enemy is fighting you, but you're a representative of the kingdom. Amen? Therefore, the enemy is fighting God. Ooh, I love it. I love it when I'm on the right side. My goodness. Because I know I'm going to be taken care of. And he says, let's see, did I hit that? Yes. Do not be afraid or dismayed. I'm in 15. Because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Okay? You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. This is what, listen to him. He said, you will not need to fight. But he tells you what you will need to do. He says, position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you. O Jerusalem, or O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Okay? Now, if we jump over to 21. Now, understand, this was a word that came on one of the men there and just moved a powerful word from God. And then we get over to 21, and it says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord. Those who should what? Sing. Wait a minute. It said there was an army. There was an army of three nations coming against him. And they were powerful. Even the word from God said they're a great multitude. So a great multitude is coming against you, and God instructs you, and you put together singers. Wouldn't it be funny? They make a movie with Rock, in it, and they're getting together their final task force. You know, they're about to go in and do business. He said, okay, you a tenor? You're a soprano, right? Okay. Could you imagine that? I mean, it sounds silly. But Jehoshaphat put together some singers here. It says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of, oh my goodness, praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord. For his mercy endures forever. Now listen, their situation here calls for mercy. They had to listen to God and position themselves. Some of us would have heard that part and said, don't worry, you don't have to fight. We said, cool, I'm gonna just sit here and chill. No, he said, position yourself. You're gonna be there. It's like here. God says, I'm for you. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. What you saw me do in the Old Testament, New Testament, I'm doing today. I'm for you. I just ask that you be here. Give me your air. Give me your wind. Give me your encouragement. You see these birds flying, and they fly in a V shape, and usually there's one short. So like you'll see them right here in a V shape, but back here there's an empty spot. The head one is up there, and he's just breaking the wind. He's the point. He's breaking the wind. And the ones on the back, they're back there quacking and come on, you can do it, Keep going, come on. One time I heard him fly by, and one said, come on, Roger. I said, Roger? That's stupid. No, but seriously, they're doing that. And so the one's taking the blow. He's in the front. Everybody else is in the back cheering him on. Let's do this. And then, boom, it's time to break. And he comes back to that empty spot, and the next one moves up. They got a system. God taught them that. So here God is telling us, I am your God. This battle is because you've associated yourself with me, and the devil wants to take you down. But I'm the one who dresses you. You are my ambassador. It is my job to take care of you. Now, if you will trust me, if you will have faith in me and believe that I am God and I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek me, you're going to see something surely happen. Because God's going to be pleased with how you handled yourself, and he's going to honor you. Amen? So what he's saying is, just give me your song. You sing, I'll fight. Amen? And that is exactly what happened here. As they went out, now understand, I know it's scary. I already talked about a sacrifice of praise. It's not easy. But as you're going out and you're singing and just praising, and ignoring the fact that what it looks like, but you're looking into the heavenlies and you're looking into that invisible place and saying, come, thy kingdom be done, thy will. I know you're a good God. And it said, his mercy endures forever. That's what they went out saying. And what did he come in and inhabit? God came in and inhabited their praises, and he started stirring in the manner in which they were singing. Remember, he said, when he told Moses, he said, tell him, I am. And he didn't define I am, because depending on our situation, we need him to be different things. Amen? So when they're saying, we need your mercy, we shift up here on the stage all the time. Actually, can the praise team come back up? I want to show you something. Some things you might think we do by accident, or you don't know why it creates what it does. But it's by design. I don't know what's happening sometimes, but Pastor Rob might come up, and he'll be talking about healing. And I say, the name of the Lord shall be feared, that the Son of Righteousness would arise in our midst. The name of the Lord shall be feared, that the Son of Righteousness would arise with healing in his wings. So, same thing they did here, Second Chronicles. They needed the mercy of God because they got an enemy that's coming against them. Show us mercy. And God came and inhabited, and he showed up in that degree of mercy. And what happened? The enemy started fighting amongst themselves. By the time Judah and Jerusalem got there, the enemy was destroyed. And they got all the rewards. Got all the booty. I mean, it was awesome. So the thing I'm trying to say to you is, when we're worshiping in here, when we're praising, whatever it is, somebody could be up giving a testimony, or pastor had you come up, and he believes right now in the middle of worship, it's time for you to give that testimony. Depending on what's happening, we have to be listening. On this stage, we have to be listening to what God is doing. Maybe there's something happening that's going to be a deliverance. You know, something like where God is trying to set you free. You know, and we might come to a spot where say, no other name but the name of Jesus. No other name but the name of Jesus. No other name but the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah. No other name but the name of Jesus. No other name but the name of Jesus. No other name but the name of Jesus. Now, what's that doing? He said, that's right, there's nobody else. It's a militant sound. And the very first part of this says, the name of Jesus be lifted high, lifted high, lifted high. The name of Jesus be lifted high in this place. Now, I don't know about you. As I'm hearing that, the name of Jesus be lifted high in this place, I want to fight. I want to overcome whatever it is trying to mess with me, because God's with me. I'm not doing this by myself, and I know he's in. Name but the name of Jesus. No other name but the name of Jesus. No other name but the name of Jesus. And this is all that faith. This is Hebrews 6 right now, Hebrews 11:6. We're pleasing God because we're coming to him knowing he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We're telling him, we know you're Jesus, you're God, you're Lord, nobody else. And he will come in and inhabit that. He will come in and inhabit that. There's times that we really, you know, it could be something where pastor is ministering, and it's just one of those days where you know he loves you over and over and over. You know he loves you, but you forget, because you've been going through so much this past week. You've just been feel like you've been tagged on every side, and you're like, "Yeah, I hear you. He loves me. I know." But there's times God has directed us to this song, and I didn't have it in the lineup. And just, oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Say it again. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Now watch, here's a faith statement. He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I Now, see, you're speaking some things in there, but boy, who you think you are? This is where the enemy could come in. Who do you think you are that God would be jealous for you? Some of us would see ourselves in such a lowly state that it'd be hard to say that phrase. But the truth is, it's scripture. He came for us. Amen? Maybe you think you don't have a beautiful voice. There are some people I look down, I could call you out right now and just say, hey, don't worry about your voice. Because as we're worshiping today specifically, God told me, he said, they don't think their voice is well enough to sing for me. But the truth is, your body needs to hear your voice singing back to it. That's deep. And I'm not trying to be deep, but I want you to know, your voice singing over you does something that nobody else's voice can do in here. Just because of the way your body is designed by God, your body is designed to keep you alive. Amen? Anybody go through CPR first aid training, they'll tell you that. Your body is wonderfully made, and it will preserve you first. That is its job. When you sing and speak back over yourself, your body will believe your words more than it will believe anybody else's. Amen? So you sing. It's not because you sing beautiful. Amen? We're not going to ask you to come and sing through a mic. But you sing. Because as you sing this, you're going to start to believe it. It's your words. See, if I hear somebody else's words, I can believe that for them. Oh, that's over them. But I got to speak it over me. Amen? How he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. And keep in mind, right now we're singing corporately. This is a body singing. And so we're saying how he loves us. There will be a time where through this song we might just switch it up and say how he loves me. It's because we've come from singing as a body to singing as individuals, and we say how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me so. Oh, how he loves me. How he loves me. These are songs we know, and we're just flowing in this. There are those times that God will just say, speak to you. He'll tell me to sing something. I might sing something that's not rehearsed. It's not a song. You can't go to the Library of Congress and find it anywhere. It's just straight out of the presence of God. And I'll give you an example right now. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to seek God for a word. To us, Lord, in this place. Oh, yeah. I am yours. Don't look around, it's you. Don't look around, it's you that I'm speaking to. For you, I told you this time and time again. I am here for you. Be here for me too. Will you sing for me? I just start creating whatever I'm hearing. Somebody else.
just sing what you're hearing in your heart. Anybody else on the praise team? I didn't tell them I was going to do this, so I'm putting them on the spot. Something else you could do. Same way we said the other day, I'm a winner. And I'm telling you, it's good to sing over yourself. If you sing God's truth, even when the enemy's trying to speak lies to you, you'll start to buy it. If you'll sing God's truth, even when the enemy's trying to lie to you, you'll start to buy it. So I was at several services and I saw this happen. It's not some type of voodoo, just understand. It's just doing what God says, right? We know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we know faith is the beginning of it all, right? If we're gonna please God, we gotta have faith and we need faith to come. So we gotta do it. We gotta hear and hear and hear and hear and hear, right? So,
you'll never leave me nor forsake me. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. You'll never leave me nor forsake me, Lord. Oh. You'll never leave me or forsake me. You'll never leave me or forsake me. You'll never leave me or forsake me. You'll never leave. You will catch me when I fall.
As Ivy was singing there, we could have went somewhere. I pulled it back a little bit, but she started talking about not be shaken, and it just had this sound to it, and it called for a rumble. There's times that type of thing will happen even while we're worshiping. It's not just because the band wants to play louder. It's because we're trying to communicate what's happening in the spiritual. I told you, we're looking into the invisible. And somehow, we got to hook up with that heavenly host that's already singing. Amen? Zephaniah 3:17, I believe it is. It talks about God singing over us and showering over us with singing. There's a chorus already taking place in the heavenly. And so we're listening to see how we can connect with what's already taking place. And when we start to connect, what happens is His glory shows up and things break loose. Same thing that happened with Paul and Silas. They could have complained after being beat, but no, they got in there and started singing hymns and praising God. Their sacrifice was high. And the prison started to shake. And the chains came loose, not just theirs, but those who heard it. Amen? God wants to do that in here. Anybody else have a song? I don't want to miss you. Thank you. I'm not going to stay here unless you got some. I don't want to miss anybody. Just singing the words, but now cause what you're hearing, that truth, and cause it to have a impact or a connection with what you're living. So I'll give you an example. She was just talking about that he was with us, we will not be moved. Say it louder.
Not be drowned, not be burned, for I am with you, fear not. I believe it's Isaiah.
Yep, right. And so you got to see that you're not going to be overtaken. That might be what you'll hear it as. So, but what you got to do is look at that thing you're going through right now. There's always something you're going through and that you're not quite sure how things are going to happen. But if you would use that encouragement in that situation and say, I don't know how the outcome's going to be. I don't know what it looks like. But I do know that I'm going to come out on the better side. Amen? I'm going to come out on the better side. And I come into an agreement with that right now. And I start telling God, I believe you. I believe you. And your response might be, I believe what you're telling me, Lord. I believe what you're telling me, Lord. I believe you. And I will rise. I will rise. Jehoshaphat in his kingdom, they'll see God's salvation. He said, stand still. All you had to do is position yourself. It tells us in the scripture to lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubt. All we got to do is our part. He tells us to make a joyful noise. I didn't even get to most of my scripture. But that's all right. I just want you to be encouraged. When you see us doing something and you haven't even seen banners in this place yet really cut loose, there's going to be art that's going to break loose because God expressed himself in so many different ways. Let's not be fearful. We've got a packet that's coming out. I don't know if it's out yet. Why we worship the way we worship. Ivy's been working on that. Pastor asked Ivy to work with that. And so that's something that's going to be coming out. There's nothing that we do on a Sunday morning that's outside of the scripture. If you see us coming here with some snakes, then you could be concerned.
Yes, and that will not happen.
Hallelujah. God, we thank you so much. Cause us to go to a deeper place in worship, a deeper place in praise, Father God. Help us to break loose, Father God, and give you your praise. To love on you with all our affections, Father God. We thank you for it right now. Go ahead.
Mother Tony, I hear the Lord saying that he's desired to raise up people in our church that have a desire for his agape love. And he says that you are it. He's raising you up. I'm gonna come right in there. He's raising you up. He says that you are dripping with my agape love. Dripping with my agape love. And he says to you, daughter, I want you to touch my people. There will be times where he's just gonna tell you to just go hug somebody. And when you hug them, things will be broken. When you hug them, they'll feel love because they didn't feel it from their parents. When you hug them, they're going to feel love, this love that they desire to feel from their spouse. The Lord is putting that within your flesh. He's putting that within your flesh. And he says, don't be embarrassed, daughter. I've made room for you. When I tell you to move, because their heart is ready.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Father, we thank you so much. Now, I know tonight or today, this was a word about praise and worship. But if you're in this place and you're like, look, I don't even know this Jesus you're talking about. But you know good and well that as we've been just worshiping, that there's a tugging on your heart and you want to get close. You don't have to wait. Right now, the Lord is in this place and he wants to be with you. He wants to know you for eternity. He wants you to know him too. So if you're in this place and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, you've never said, be Lord, I want you to be boss. You never said that to Jesus. You've got an opportunity right now. Just show your hand. He came and died for your sin. We all are sinners at some point. It doesn't matter if you did anything bad or not. You're born into it. So you need saved. If you're in this place and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord, to be daddy, to be Lord. Let me correct that. If you never asked Jesus Christ to be Lord and God to be your Father, you need to lift your hand up right now. Have a, anyone? I'm not gonna wait too long. I think we're all good, but if not, amen. Well, listen, keep Pastor in prayer, amen. And Terry, they'll be traveling back, and I know they've had a time and they've been doing a lot of work. They'll be back today, right? I think so. Let's remember to keep them in prayer and that they are returned refreshed, amen. Brother, you got something?
Brother has just gone through this surgery and coming out on the other side healthy and happy. Lord God, we thank you that you are keeping him. We thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the God that heals our bodies. And Lord God, we just thank you, and we await the day to hear of a good, sound recovery. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, amen, amen. Well, praise God, you guys are dismissed. We love you.